Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
Welcome to our Christmas service. What happened to this group? I mean, this group's filled. Y'all let up over here? You know, the older we get, our kids start coming to see us at Christmas. So this must be a young group. They all want to see their parents. I wrote a little poem yesterday, just fooling around, that I'll read to you today about our church. And it's titled, Invite Someone to Church Today. Heritage Church is a place to be, all the folks like you and me. We aren't angry or hateful folks. We love the Lord and make some jokes. We help each other walk through life. We even help when there is strife. There are many other churches around, but this is the best one I've found. People are mostly sweet and kind. This kind of church is hard to find. I put mostly in there because of a few of you. We won't name any names, Bob Manley. Bob's the mayor here, not the day mayor, the nightmare. No. Well, I could finish it. We believe the Bible and preach it too. It has the best instructions for me and you. So come and join us this Sunday and see if it isn't true what I say. Someone's at the door will shake your hand and we will welcome you into the Heritage clan. It will only take a week or two and you will know Heritage is a church for you. Anyway, just a little something. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Starting to read verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And this man was just and devout and waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in Christ Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you bless this message. I pray, Lord, that you make it clear to our hearts, that we not stumble over words, but we understand your spirit. And for that, we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. What is Christmas about? People have asked what life is about. What's your life about? Christmas is a time when God is breaking through in order to show us who he is, in order to show the world who he is. He has done it many times before. He did it with Abraham when he promised to make him the father of many nations. He did it with Moses and the children of Israel at the Red Sea when they needed deliverance. He did it on Mount Carmel as Elijah called down fire from heaven. He showed up in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he shows up with Daniel in the lion's den. And he shows up in a manger. He was always about delivering people. And God's Spirit has always worked in order to do that. And God sent Jesus Christ to deliver us. And the Bible says in Revelation 1:7 that every eye will see him. And the first thing that God does is he informs the world. And I want you to get this message today because there's only 3 points, and I think they're easy to remember. First, he informs the world. And here's what he said. The message is that God loves the world, and he cares about it. The angel said unto the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all the people." And then he exploded with praise as they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men for whom his favor rests." Whether or not the world wants to hear it, Christ didn't come to bring war, he came to bring peace. Christ came to settle the things within the families. He came to settle the things within the nations. God said, "I come and I am introducing a new system. And if you understand this system, you're going to understand what it's about. And it's about peace. It's about joy. It's about love. It's about Emmanuel coming and delivering us just as sure as he delivered Shadrach and Meshach out of the fiery furnace. He delivered them into peace and he set them up as rulers. He came to deliver this world." Christmas informs us that there is a meaning and a purpose in the world. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom and establish and uphold it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord God Almighty will accomplish it." That's Isaiah chapter 9. That's talking about Jesus coming, his introduction into this world, and he came into this world to set up his kingdom. And he said that that kingdom would grow. And he said it will transform not just the world, but it will transform each of us. We don't only have the good news of great joy. Our message is not more words about hope and peace, mere words about hope and peace. The Christmas message is changing the world. Scripture says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what is God's will. In his good and pleasing and perfect will." Romans 12:2. So God said he's going to change the world by introducing his son into it. He said he's going to change the world by changing you. The problem today is Christians don't change. We don't get a renewing of the mind. We fight fire with fire. We don't do as God says. We do as the world says. We don't want to turn our cheek. We don't want to stand up and pray. We don't want to recognize God as the God of all the universe. There's a story told, many of you have heard it, about a man that was reading the paper and his children were in bed, and his daughter got up and she said, "Daddy, I can't sleep." So he took the paper and there was a picture of the world, and he tore the picture out and he tore it up into pieces, and he says, "Now go and put that together and come back out, and when you're out, then Daddy will help you go to sleep." It wasn't but a few minutes and she came back out. And he said, "How did you do that so fast?" She said, "Well, on the back side was a picture of a man. And you get the man put together right, the world comes out okay." We're trying to fix the world, but we're not trying to fix us. We're not trying to help one another be fixed. We have forgotten about evangelism. We have forgotten about who God is. We look at God as a secondary power in our lives, even as Christians. We look at the world as our enemy rather than our mission field. "For one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact place where they should live. God did this so that man would seek him and prepare, and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our blessings." I was out in the world this last year, and most of you know it, and there are people that hate the church. And I hate to say this, but they have good reason. They have good reason, because people in the church didn't act Christian. People in the church didn't live Christian lives. People in the church were not transformed by the renewing of their mind. They were still part of the world system rather than the kingdom of God. And when we step into the kingdom of God, we are different. We think different. We walk different. We react different. How's that turning your cheek working out for you? How's that loving your enemy working out for you? How's that forgiving 70 times 7 working out for you? It don't work out for us because we have not been renewed by the renewing of our mind. We have not come into this Christ, into this kingdom, and understand. And I mean, it is not a commitment to Christ. It is a surrender to Christ. It is saying, Lord, all that I am, all that I have, all that I will ever be is to you. You will come first. Your things will come first. I belong to your kingdom, not just your church. And when we belong to his kingdom, we will see missions start to work. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Now, he is either a liar or we're not lifting him up very good. And I can tell you this right now, God's not a liar. There was a fellow I read about. His name was Paul Kustra. He was a missionary. And he told this little story. He said, one day, the coach took him aside and said, I knew what was coming. And he said, I thought, you don't have to tell me. I said, I'm off the team, aren't I? And the coach said, you never were really on the team. You made that uniform you're wearing out of rags and towels. Your helmet is a toy space helmet. You show up at practice and then either steal the ball or make us chase you to get it back. Or you try to tackle people at inappropriate times. See, sometimes we're just not on the team. Sometimes we don't know what it is, even being in church, what it is to be born again, what it is to lay down our lives and make it a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service. We come in and we make up our own uniform about what a Christian could be. We bring in some helmet that is given to us from the world, and we go out, and as long as we are against something that's bad, especially the things that we don't do that's bad, we're against the things that other people do that are bad. And we'll call them out on those things. But God help us if anyone calls us out. We'll be offended. And we'll yell and we'll scream foul. God said, turn your cheek. But he said, you know, there was something that coach saw in me that he came to me. And he said, I'd like for you to be on the team. My brother-in-law started going to church in Florida many years ago. Many of you know Steve. He said the preacher came to his house one day and he said, I'm tired of you guys parking in the visitor's parking lot. And Steve said, well, we'll park wherever you want us to park. He said, well, in order to park in the other parking lot, let me tell you about who Jesus is. And I thought that was a pretty good approach. And let me tell you this, if you attend church, it doesn't matter whether you attend this church or you attend another church, are you a visitor? Or are you part of the team? Have you really put on Christ, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness? Are you willing to witness for Jesus Christ and who he is? Jesus said, I come to transform the world. And he can't transform it unless we allow him to transform us. Stanley Hauser was a professor at Duke University, said, it's hard to remember that Jesus did not come to make us safe, but rather to make us disciples. Citizens of God's new age, new kingdom, is to make disciples. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. What are we known for? Every Christian should be known that they are a Christian. That's what they should be known for. They should be known for righteousness. They should be known for peace. They should be known for kindness. They should be known for love. They should be known for forgiveness. That's the virtues of a Christian. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance. And if you are not known for that, you are not known for being who you're supposed to be. Well, I'm known as a scholar. Well, I'm known as a politician. Well, I'm known as a... No, you're supposed to be known for who you are in Christ. It doesn't matter what job you do. Because the Bible says, God came to form a new culture, to replace the kingdom of the world with the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God will break through, and there will be a new world order through the kingdom of God. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever, Revelation 11, 15. Bible says the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. That's you and me. Join heirs with Jesus Christ. And if we allow the Son of God to be revealed through us, and we become like him, and we're willing to lay down our lives for sinners. I don't know where all this hate comes from in the church today. Well, I know where it comes from. It doesn't come from God. God came to hate the world and judge the world and to... God's the judge. We're just a witness. Don't you dare get in his seat. I'd like to see you go in a courtroom and they call you up for a witness and you go up and you say, excuse over, judge. I'm going to sit here for a while. Go to jail, wouldn't you, Jim? You don't take the judge's seat. Then why are we as a church, we want to judge the world rather than win the world? Why is it that we want to react? Well, we have justification, and we can prove it. You might have justification, but that is not the way we live in the kingdom of God. We don't live by our justification. We live by God's. We as Christians, we think so many times that we live in two worlds. We live in this kingdom of God, and then we've got to deal with this world. Let me tell you something. I got out there in that world last year. And I'll tell you this, I never got into that world. See, there aren't two worlds. You're either in the kingdom of God or you're in the kingdom of the world. Well, when you're in the kingdom of God, you can lead in the world. But you will lead people into righteousness and into holiness and into peace and into joy. Your leadership doesn't change. You don't change. You are a person that is in the kingdom of God that's going to take over the world because Christ has put it under his feet. So we step up as who we are in Christ, and we realize that nothing is too big for him. The kingdom of this world is becoming the kingdom of God, and what is mortal is about to be swallowed up by life. 2 Corinthians 5:4. How big is your God? There have been scientists ever since time began that believe in God. There are scientists that believe in God today. You don't have to give up your faith in God. I said last week, and I'll say it again, when you breathe in oxygen instead of carbon monoxide, that's God. He said that his creation has said who he is, but sometimes we ignore creation because we want to ignore him. And it says we want to ignore him usually because our deeds are evil. We're so tied to the world, we don't want to give up the world. But my God is so big that he can conquer Toledo. He can conquer your family. He can conquer your loved ones. He can conquer your workspace. God is that big and he is that powerful. And he can take you anywhere he wants to take you. But we think of a little God that'll be there when we die. We're satisfied with just being saved and having our sins forgiven. We don't realize that God has called us to conquer the world. Let me tell you how big God is. Arnold Palmer went to Saudi Arabia one time and put on a golf show. And the king was so impressed with him that the king said, I'd like to give you a gift. And Arnold Palmer says, no, there's no need in that. He said, it's just my privilege to come over here and to do this for you. He says, no, let me give you a gift. What would you like to have? And he said, well, a golf club would be a nice momentum of coming over. The next morning at his motel room, there came a knock on the door, and an envelope was handed to him. and it was a 1,000-acre golf club with a hotel, trees, lakes, and a clubhouse. Arnold Palmer had underestimated what the king could do. Let me tell you something. Ask God for a golf club. He is that big. He will deliver his kingdom unto you. Your life will never be the same. Your home will never be the same. Your family will never be the same. Your workplace will never be the same. Never be ashamed of him. Never be ashamed to stand with him and to stand for him. And never be ashamed to stand against those Christians who are standing against his virtues. Because they're not Christian. Jealousy, envy, strife, hatred, high-mindedness, haughtiness are the virtues of a sinner that's tied to this world. Grudges, the same thing. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, and temperance. That's the virtues of a Christian. Allow God to take over your life, and he'll take over the world. Let's pray. Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for today, that we remember that you intervened in our lives to deliver us from this thing that's called the world that seems to be dying and going to hell. You delivered us from it just as sure as you delivered Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego from the fiery furnace, and as sure as you delivered the Israelites from the hands of the Egyptians. You've delivered us. We're already delivered. We're seated in the heavenlies with you. Lord, I pray that we be able to see who we are and that we are citizens of your kingdom, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and we're here to conquer the world. But we cannot do it unless people can see Jesus Christ in us, for that is the hope of the world. Help us be more concerned about doing it your way than our way, your way than the church's way, your way than the government way. Help us to see your way. And Lord, we know that when we can't see, you will open the way. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.